ACB presents the ACB Open, a series of four tournaments at allinplay.com. Bluff your best at five-card draw poker. Catch the craze of crazy eights. Raise the stakes with Texas Hold'em. Strain your brain with Tag the Anagram Game. Whether you're a word whiz or a card sharp, we've got you covered. The fun starts Saturday, September 6th with five-card draw and continues every Saturday in September. So come on down and ante up at allinplay.com.
This coverage of the WBU General Assembly in Geneva is coming to you from ACB Radio World with the support of Vision Australia. To find out more about Vision Australia, you're welcome to visit us at visionaustralia.org.
Vision Australia. Blindness and low vision services.
Terratech's accessible digital lifestyle is a hot topic and getting hotter. Here's your chance to add some sizzle to your life by participating in our online survey and enrolling to win a complete digital lifestyle makeover. Here's what you could win. An Asus 2-pound netbook PC with 1 gigabyte of main memory and an 8 gigabyte SSD drive fully equipped for accessible wireless networking, including Terratech's award-winning System Access screen reader. A complete Terratech software as service package, including System Access Mobile, 4 years of System Access Mobile Network and Neo Speech, a Humanware Victor Stream audiobook player, a Creative Lab Zen Stone MP3 player, and one copy of any Mobile Speak screen reader for your mobile device, courtesy of Code Factory. The digital lifestyle makeover is worth more than $2,000, and all you have to do is answer a few really easy questions. Of course, you don't have to wait to win to get access and be accessible. If you're one of the first 100 people to sign up for Terratech's 4-year software as service package, we'll send you a Zen Stone MP3 player at no charge. For more information, please visit Terratech on the web at www.terratech.com. Access life with Terratech's digital lifestyle. Start your makeover today. The winner of our Summer Sizzle contest will be drawn on the Sunday after Labor Day on ACB Radio's Marlena program, and the winner must be at home to win.
From Geneva, Switzerland, this is live coverage of the 7th General Assembly of the World Blind Union. And now, here are your hosts, Chrissy Cochran and Marlena Lieberg.
Oh, welcome, welcome,
bonjour,
welcome indeed.
Bonjour.
You may well hear the Alpenhorns, yes, in the background, which tells you we are in Geneva.
Geneva,
indeed.
Bonjour.
Indeed. With me, I am Chrissy Cochran, by the way. With me is Marlena Lieberg,
and
a well-known voice on the air.
And to my left is Donna Pomerantz.
Unfortunately, I don't think we have we can't use another mic for that.
No, but you know what? We can make her lean in.
We can make her
lean in. Here, lean all the way. There you go. Now say good morning.
Good morning. Bienvenidos a todos.
Très bien.
How about
très bien. Bonjour. Oui, comment bien, ça va?
Bien. Guten Morgen, liebe Zuhörer.
Oui, oui.
So there we
il
go.
Y a beaucoup de lents en la Genève. Oui.
I can't remember what the morning is in Italian. Then we'd have all the three Swiss languages.
Buonasera.
That's good evening, dear. That's good evening.
No, that's buona notte.
That's good night.
Oh, fine.
Anyway, welcome indeed. Now, before
fine.
We go any further, a slight technical thing. Yes, I know the stream says the Women's Forum, and I will correct that at lunchtime, but I don't want to break the stream to do it. So it's going to say that all morning. So there you go. But anyway, here we are.
And I'm
this
going to.
Is it.
And
this
I'm,
is the big one.
Am I the one who is going to be doing the MSNs, my dear?
Yes, I've got it up at the moment. But
all right.
I'll relinquish it to you in a little while.
All right. Well, you do that.
So, have you the program to hand to let people
no,
know?
If not, I will. Oh, I do. Just
a
minute,
I can
Donna.
Give it to
is
you on the right page and everything.
Oh, well.
Here we are.
All right, I'll take yours.
At the bottom, near the bottom.
Yes,
page.
Yes.
Okay. No, it's already set up.
Okay, I'm just trying to take it from
okay,
you.
There you go. Right, and then we can tell you all that's coming.
All that's coming.
Much is coming. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about it.
Has anyone described to the listeners kind of the different braille that sort of slows the reading down a little bit? For example, reading 830 in U.S. literary braille, you see number sign 8, and then you see the 3-6. And then 30. Well, in this braille, it's number sign 8, number sign 30. So it's a little slow. But anyway, from 8:30 a.m. to 9:30 a.m., we had our registration. I don't think we probably care about that. So we'll turn that page. Now let's get to where we want to be here. Let's see. The General Assembly opening ceremonies. The session chair is Christian Hugentrobler. Christian Hugentrobler, president of the Swiss Federation of the Blind and Visually Impaired. And if I massacre these names, please forgive me. As the head of the Women's Forum said the other day when she called the roll, I haven't had time to practice. The session speakers. The welcome, of course, is Christian Hugentrobler from the Swiss Federation of the Blind. The WBU president, EBU president, Colin Lowe. WBU president, William Rowland, president of the Swiss Confederation, Mr. Pascal Couchepin, which is spelled Couchepin, and then musical entertainment, which we're having now from the Alpenhorns.
In fact, if I bring that up a little, we can...
Yes, if you've never seen an Alpenhorn, it's a very long, long instrument. My brother-in-law actually plays one. They're quite amazing. 10:30 a.m. to 11 a.m., we have introduction and announcements here in the plenary room. The session chair is William Rowland. Receipt of the proceedings of the 6th General Assembly. Announcement of Assembly.
Ladies and gentlemen, please
committees.
Take your seats.
There we are. We are, I think, actually going to start on time.
I have a feeling. So, we'll have announcement of Assembly committees, credentials, resolutions, returning officers, and scrutineers. I love that word.
Scrutineers.
S-C-R-U-T-I-N-E-E-R-S. Scrutineers.
Go on, say it again.
Scrutineers.
There you go.
Yes,
there you
yes.
go.
Let's see. Nomination process. Nominating committee chair is Philip Baum, B-A-M. Credentials committee report. Credentials committee chair is James Sanders, S-A-N-D-E-R-S. Process for conducting elections. Returning, let's see where we are here. Returning officers, Jeffrey Gibbs, G-I-B-B-S. Process for submitting resolutions. Resolution committee chair, Tina Numi, N-U-M-M-I. Actually, I think her name might be split. Again, it's kind of interesting braille. So I think I'll just leave it at Numi because I'm not sure. 11 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. is... oh, dear. Obituaries.
Oh.
And remembering members who have left us in the plenary room. That session chair is William Rowland. That session speaker is Enrique Perez, P-E-R-E-Z. 11:30 a.m. to 12 is the president's report here in this room, of course. Questions and comments from the floor. And that session chair is Marianne Diamond. And the session speaker is William Rowland. At 12, we will break for lunch, and then I'll stop there, and we'll come back at 2 for the afternoon session.
Marlena, I think it might be a good convention to adopt. When we come to difficult names, we'll have a crack at them, but we will also spell them.
Spelled, oh,
I think
yes.
That's a great convention.
Yes, yes, yes.
I believe also at... remember, folks, these times are Central European time.
Yes,
so set. And this is what we did during the Women's Forum as well, because we're reading off the Braille. It's easier for us to do that and then just point out to you that minus 2 hours, you've got UTC. It's easier for us to do them in Central European time, if you don't mind. But remember, you just take off 2 hours and you've got UTC.
Correct.
So, we're almost ready to go. People are taking their seat. It is busy. It is full.
Yes.
Wow, yeah. And the organization here is good, I've got to say. So, we were up and ready to go when we were supposed to.
Yes,
indeed.
Little
man came along with it. All your technical stuff okay, he says, which I think is lovely. You know, it really is.
And I think someone is looking for it. It's we don't have that, but if you go to the World Blind Union office up by the registration, they might have it because they have an office up there with computers. Yes, up closer to there. Yes.
Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. Yes.
You'd be surprised what people think we have, actually, because they see or know of computers on a long table. We've got to have whatever it is, but hey.
Yes, indeed. And we have a lovely setup here. There's plenty of room for Donna and Chrissy and me.
I have a chair to the right of me for
interviewees. Yes,
and I believe
indeed.
We can roll and lose our first one today.
Yes, and so. We're going to be joined this afternoon. I need this. That's the little one. Yes, ma'am. Boy, Donna's a great assistant over here.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful.
I'm glad she's here. She's already offered to get us water and everything
that's
like that.
That's even better still. Oh, yeah.
Indeed, indeed. So what our schedule says is that for the next few days, we're going to be joined by some folks from Vision Australia at various times during the proceedings to assist us with the broadcasting and give us a bit of a different view, perhaps, of proceedings and so on. So this afternoon, Bill Jolly, who is Jolly,
wonderful.
To tell you, he's a lovely person.
Yes, he popped by the booth yesterday.
Oh, he's a lovely person.
He is.
Well, he should be joining us for the last session.
Right, good.
So, that should be very interesting. And then someone that I have not yet met but really have come to enjoy from the Women's Forum, again from Australia, is Robin McKenzie.
Oh, yes.
And she should be joining us on Tuesday for the last session. Ron McCollum should be with us on Thursday for the last session. And there it goes. I knocked it over.
I'm not going to say a word. Sorry about that, folks. You can have your speakers back now.
Yes, yes.
Hold on.
There we go.
I ask you to rise to greet the president of the Swiss Confederation, Pascal Couchepin. Thank you. Maria.
Thank you.
We are all standing, waiting for the president of the Swiss Federation of the Blind. I'm not quite sure what's going on now. What?
Yeah. No, this is for the president of the Swiss Confederation.
Oh, what did
In
I
other
say?
Words, you said the Federation of the Blind. No, this is the the head politician.
Yes, the Swiss.
The president de la République de Suisse.
Oui, oui. La présidente de le pays.
De le pays?
Oui.
Oui.
Mm-hmm. Oui. The president of the
Schweizerische Republik.
Essentially.
Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats.
Thank you. Oh, try to push it. I'll tell you, the chairs they've been given, we've been given here, are lovely and comfortable. Boy, heavens, are they heavy.
Yes.
Wow.
Let's let Donna say this in Spanish.
Yeah.
Oh, she's doing something else.
Oh, wow.
We're trying to give you three languages here. So one can only assume that, oh my gosh, these chairs are...
they are, aren't they?
That the president has arrived.
Oh, I imagine so, yes.
You know what's interesting?
Mm-hmm.
If this had been, you know, your country or our country, we would have had to go through 197 metal detectors and give up our firstborn child.
I know.
And take our shoes off. And, and we all just walked in.
Yep.
Yeah.
I had a little man a little perturbed earlier on because I didn't have my badge with me, but that's the only thing.
Oh, that is a serious infraction.
Well, the only reason I tend not to wear it while here is because he gets entangled in the headphone cables and things. Anyway, I think we're
beginning.
Come on.
Yes.
I'll pull him down.
Mr. President of the Swiss Confederation, Mr. Pascal Couchepin, President of the World Blind Union, Dr. William Rowland, Lord Lowe, President of European Blind Union, ladies and gentlemen, it's a great honor and a privilege that I can speak to you on behalf of the Swiss Federation of the Blind and Visually Impaired, of the wonderful project team and the local organizing committee. Changing what it means to be blind, taking our place in the world, this has been given as a topic to this General Assembly. For me, this is more than just a conference topic. It is a theme for the next term and beyond. The struggle to improve the situation of visually impaired people in the world has to carry on. And each one of us must contribute to it. Changes have to be achieved on each level, the local, the national, and the international level. We are looking forward to this 7th General Assembly, to the interesting reports, and to inspiring discussions and workshops. But there are many more things listed on the conference program, namely the leisure activities organized by the local organizations here in Geneva, and of course the exhibition that will open its doors on Thursday. We wish you a fruitful and successful General Assembly. We wish that each one of you will return with excellent new idea in his head and many new friends in his heart. I would like to take the opportunity to thank all those who have contributed to this project. First of all, there is the wonderful project team, Maria and Nadia, who most of you already know personally. Then there are all the associations that funded SFB for this project. Without their substantial support, SFB wouldn't have been in the position to bring this project to an end. And last but not least, there is the local organizing committee, which supported it with advice, experience, and many more good ideas. Enjoy the forthcoming day, and I'll be happy to meet as many of you as possible. Thank you.
You're listening to coverage of the 7th General Assembly of the World Blind Union on ACB Radio World.
The pleasure to give the floor to Dr. William Rowland, President of WBU.
President of the Swiss Confederation, Monsieur Pascal Cauchepin, past presidents of the World Blind Union, delegates to the WBU 7th General Assembly, listeners to CBA Radio, friends. Each General Assembly has been different and unique. And the WBU 7th General Assembly in Geneva will certainly be special. My path to this platform here this morning began some 6 years ago at the House of Louis Braille in Gouffre, when South Africa presented its bid to host the WBU 6th General Assembly in Cape Town. We were successful in that bid, and in December 2004, you elected me your president. And since then, one of our priorities has been preparing for this General Assembly. The WBU is the sole voice speaking on behalf of 161 million blind and partially sighted people around the world. We are the largest disability international with a membership of over 170 countries. And President Cauchepin, this is the constituency that you honour with your presence this morning. Switzerland has a distinguished reputation in many fields. Your model democracy, your contributions to science and technology. But in relation to our work, I wish to refer to the International Red Cross and its humanitarian activities, to the fact of the founding of the internet in Switzerland, which has meant so many new possibilities to blind people, and the establishment of international standards, originally intended to harmonize the Swiss rail system with neighboring countries, and now that World Blind Union is applying for an ISO for the marking of credit cards. I'd like to acknowledge our Swiss hosts. Your meticulous planning, imagination, and hard work has brought us to this successful moment. To the participants in the General Assembly, I would urge you to let this be a time of learning and a time of enjoyment. We have high expectations of your resolutions. Let those resolutions be translatable into action, action which is translatable into changing what it means to be blind. Friends, I thank you.
Thank you very much, William. And of course, I hope that Switzerland can continue being one of the leading countries in technology, human rights, and in democracy. It's now a pleasure to give the floor to Lord Lowe, President of the European Blind Union. Please.
Mr. President, if I just say Mr. President, it'll cover Presidents Hugentobler, Roland, and Kushper. Mr. President, fellow delegates, ladies and gentlemen, it's a great pleasure and a privilege for me, as President of the European Blind Union, the European region of the World Blind Union, to welcome you to Europe for your assembly once again. It's 20 years since the WBU came to Europe for its assembly. That was in Madrid, Spain, in 1988. Just 4 years after the founding of the Union, and only the second assembly in its history. Now the Union has more than come of age, and it's a matter of pride to us to be hosting your assembly again, as you stand on the threshold of your Silver Jubilee. Like all the regions of the Union, Europe has much to learn from the other regions. Sharing and cross-fertilisation is what the Union is all about. Not just at Assembly time, of course, but certainly at the Assembly. But Europe also has many talents to contribute. Sometimes these are associated with national characteristics. It's important to ensure that the right associations are made. Thus, in heaven, it's said, the English are the policemen, the French are the cooks, the Dutch are the plumbers, the Germans are the engineers, and the Italians are the lovers. On the other hand, in hell, the English are the cooks, the French are the plumbers, the Germans are the policemen, the Italians are the engineers, and the Dutch are the lovers. We're not told what the Swiss do, but I'm sure they will make very good hosts. National characteristics are also reflected in the different legal systems to be found in Europe. Thus, in England, it is said, everything is permitted unless it's expressly forbidden. Whereas in Germany, everything is forbidden unless it's expressly permitted. On the other hand, in France, everything is permitted even when it's expressly forbidden. Sorry. Whereas in the Soviet Union, this joke's a little dated, I'm afraid. I'm sure this wouldn't be the case today. But in the Soviet Union, it was always said that everything is forbidden, even when it was expressly permitted. That's probably the sort of joke you can only tell in your last term as president. But to be more serious for a moment, Europe does exhibit great diversity. It's tempting to think of Europe as exemplifying the more developed, better off end of the WBU. But actually, as I say, it does contain some of the greatest diversity, from some of the richest countries in the world to some of the poorest. So we know about the problems of inequality and poverty in Europe, and we're doing our best to address them in the EBU. I too want to thank our colleagues in the Swiss Federation of the Blind and Visually Impaired and their Swiss partner organisations for what they are doing in hosting this assembly. Europe couldn't be better represented, nor could it show a better face to the world. According to a survey undertaken in 2006, Zurich and Geneva are the cities with the highest living standards in the world. Switzerland has signed every major international environmental agreement, including Kyoto, the climate change treaty. I hope it won't be long before they get round to signing the UN Convention on the Rights of Disabled People. Switzerland as a country exemplifies many of the values of the WBU, most noticeably democracy, cooperation, independence, and internationalism. Few countries can demonstrate the integration of different national traditions better than Switzerland. We've just missed the 718th anniversary on the 14th of August of the Ewiger Bund, the Eternal Pact, which is seen as the start of the Swiss Confederation in 1291. Swiss citizens get to vote directly on a much wider range of political issues than is customary in most democracies, and they have a political tradition of debating things out until a consensus is reached. It may sometimes take a little time, but it's better to reach a consensus than have one section of the community simply imposing its will on the others, the tyranny of the majority. In Jefferson's famous phrase, Switzerland pursues a policy of honest friendships with all nations and entangling alliances with none, and they have shown that it's possible to survive outside any of the major power blocks in a rapidly globalizing world. And what city could be a better venue for an international conference than Geneva, the home of the Red Cross, the League of Nations, and many more international organizations? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome again to Europe, to Switzerland, and Geneva. I know you will have a great assembly.
That's Lord Colin Lowe, President for European Blind. This is ACB Radio World.
Thank you, Colin, very much for these words. And I will think afterwards for what role we could apply either in hell or in heaven. It's now a great honor and a pleasure that the President of Swiss Confederation will speak to us. He has taken his time to come to us, and please give a hand to Mr. Pascal Kuschmann.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. President, friends, I shall speak in French. It is one of our national language, and I think it is a human right to speak from time to time in his own native language. Mesdames, Messieurs,
ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted to bring to you the greetings of the Swiss government as we open this 7th General Assembly of the World Blind Union. I would like to thank you for having chosen Switzerland as the host country to hold this important assembly, which takes place every 4 years and which is taking place for the first time in this country of Switzerland. The speakers who took the floor before me have underscored the importance of your organisation, which defends the interests of 160 million blind and partially sighted persons from 177 countries. 160 million partially sighted and blind persons. That represents the population of a sizable country, probably one of the 20 most sizable countries in the world. And that just shows that you are here to defend the interests of a great nation, a sizable nation. This General Assembly is also a forum which is going to give you a chance to benefit from the experiences from the different countries, and I hope that this assembly is a fruitful one for you all. You have chosen Switzerland. That has been said. There are good reasons to do so and good reasons to hold this assembly in Geneva. Geneva indeed gives you an ideal context to hold this kind of meeting, and Geneva claims, and rightly so, to be the city of human rights. Yet the issue of disability has become, and this for the last few years, and thankfully, a topic of discussion in the light of human rights. Over the last few years, there's been a paradigm shift with regard to the with disability, which has been taking root slowly. In the past, disability was seen as a personal failing, and the authorities in that vein tried to compensate to the great extent possible so-called deficiency. Now, the disability policies only had to do with assistance and social benefits. I myself witnessed the change of this paradigm before joining the Swiss government as a volunteer for 25 years. I chaired an association which at the time was called the Association to Support Physical and Disabled Persons, Physical and Mentally Disabled Persons, and now it has changed its name, and this to keep in tune with the change of paradigm which we have and the vision we have of disability, which I was just referring to a few minutes ago. Today, the image we have of disability is a differentiated image. We no longer see disabled persons from a medical point of view, first and foremost, and thankfully the dichotomy between normality and what is not normal is disappearing. This distinction is disappearing, and the new perspective puts forward the notion of discrimination. And as a result, the disability policy means that you must take into account these differences in all areas of a person's life, professional and personal, with regard to training, housing, work, leisure, as many areas in which progress has been made in the area of integration of disabled persons. I would like to welcome this positive development. You have been contributing towards this change thanks to your daily work in this field, in your respective countries, with your different administrations, and with your work with the international organizations. And this work is echoed also by the UN Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, the CRPD, which came into force in May of this year, 2008. Your president, European president, has underscored a few minutes ago the fact that Switzerland still hasn't ratified the CRPD. Now, we share these objectives it contains, but we are simply assessing at this stage the practical consequences thereof, because Switzerland has an old tradition, as you know, namely, we do not ratify or sign a convention before we have looked into how we can apply it, and once it is signed and ratified, we then apply it from A to Z. Other countries, and everyone has their own tradition, sign, and then they think about how they can apply it in real terms. Now, we try to do both things at the same time. Sometimes it's more prosaic in our approach, less glamorous, but perhaps it is as effective at the end of the day. The convention, the CRPD, shows what is important in the relationship between disabled persons and able persons, able-bodied persons, dignity and respect, the recognition of divergences or differences that are the hallmark of the human condition. This is what the CRPD points to. This country, Switzerland, has four different linguistic groups. We have different religions. We have 1 million foreign citizens living in our territories. We have 26 different cantons, all feel different. So we know what diversity is to a certain extent, and we know how important the need is to always take into account the interests of different people. So we have a certain amount of practice when it comes to overcoming differences, to be able to, as a number of speakers said beforehand, we reach consensus at the end of the day. Now, the existence of this new UN convention, the CRPD, is something which, over time, will give us a real new vision of disability, but much remains to be done. Of all the areas that are important to enable everyone to have an equal opportunity to be integrated in the community, of all these areas, it is probably the professional area which is the most important area. Several countries have begun to set up measures to promote the integration of disabled persons in the professional world. And this happens sometimes through seeking job placements that are adapted to the skills of a person in the light of their disability. But the danger of that approach is that you then create a labour market which is a parallel market. And we do not seek first and foremost to broker serious professional integration for disabled persons. Now, our duty is to encourage more than we have done in the past employers to adapt their job positions to the particular needs of disabled persons and not the other way around. However, such an approach will be crowned with success only if disabled persons can show that their skills levels is comparable to the skills levels of able-bodied persons. And that is in particular the reason why our first objective would be to improve access to training at all levels. A good training, this is a truism, good training increases considerably one's chances of getting a job. That's self-evident. Nobody would deny the fact that it is not easy to adapt all curricula, all training to the needs of disabled persons. That's undeniable. Often, at the basis, though, of the difficulty, we find a kind of ignorance, a lack of understanding of the specific and tangible problem that lies therein, and often there is also a certain amount of prejudice. And on the other hand, however, we find that new technologies, and I've seen examples of this morning when I arrived, new technologies can help us to overcome many obstacles and enable us to do things that beforehand we weren't able to do. Ladies and gentlemen, you also have an important role to play. You can contribute in a decisive fashion to a better integration at all levels of disabled persons through your obstinate and positive defense of your interests, proving that you are capable and that you can participate in the social and political life of a country. And I must say that I was very much appreciative of, in the speeches of the previous speakers, these summary, very humoristic often, of what the different countries are like and their hallmarks, and in particular Switzerland. If you look at the long history of the interaction between the disabled persons and able persons in throughout the world, we see that these persons together try and overcome challenges successfully, and they are contributing nationally and internationally to the blind and partially sighted to occupy the place that befalls them, namely a place within society. And if you look at the trends throughout the world, we see with pleasure that, for example, in the state of New York, a blind or a partially sighted person became governor. And this attests to the fact that, in my view, no obstacles, even in politics, no obstacle is unsurmountable. With the motto you've chosen for your 7th General Assembly this year, changing what it means to be blind, taking our place in the world, with this motto, you are underscoring the fact that you will continue to mobilize all your energies to be able to defend your interests and improve your place in the world. I wish you all, ladies and gentlemen, success along that path. I can assure you that we will be supporting you to help you to achieve that. I thank you for your attention, and I wish you a very pleasant stay in Switzerland. I hope that you will leave this place full of strength and full of new ideas to be able to change the world, and equipped so that the blind and the partially sighted persons have their rightful place in the world. Thank you.
Those are a pair of Alpenhorns, very, very long instruments, and they can be heard from miles across the Alps, which is why they were originally designed.
Monsieur le Président de la Confédération, merci infiniment.
Thank you, President of the Confederation. Thank you very much for those words.
We thank you very much that you have spoken to us, and we appreciate very much that we have seen, you have shown us that the Swiss government is totally aware of the problems of handicapped persons and especially of visually handicapped people. Thank you very much, Mr. President. It's a pleasure, as you already heard it, our Alphorn players. Alphorns are really typical Swiss instruments. Normally they are played high up in the mountains, but these guys have come to us to join the General Assembly. Those who are interested will have in the tea break the chance to have a look, a closer look at these instruments. Now enjoy some more songs played by, with alphorns.
In fact, the alphorns are not going to play anymore, and I will ask William Rowland to go on in the program. Thank you.
Don't forget, if you have any comments, questions, etc., you can write, email on it, or MSN to convention@acbradio.org, and we'll do our best to answer them, or say hello, whatever. But we'd love to hear from you. This is ACB Radio World.
Okay. Oh, I'm on three? Oh, I'm on four. Okay. I want to acknowledge that a couple of folks have been sending in MSNs. Matthew Horsepool is one, and he has suggested that we...
Ladies and gentlemen, while the people are getting ready for the next speeches, I'm going to give you some housekeeping matters for
interpreters.
Today.
Just so we'll see what we can do.
Well, I have been here with you the last couple of days, so I greet again the people who were here for the Women's Forum, and I welcome warmly all the people who arrived for the General Assembly. If you do have any problems with your microphones, just raise your hands and volunteers will come and help you. For your information, the dinner of sponsored delegates will take place here this evening. There are special buses, again, for the sponsored delegates who will leave from here to Central Station at 20 past 8, 20 to 9, and 9 o'clock. So be sure that you are on those buses. The registration for the General Assembly will close at 2 p.m. today, so make sure that you got all what you need. As our president already mentioned, the alphorns will be here during lunchtime. So whenever you're interested in, don't hesitate to find them, to touch them, and maybe to play on them. We have arranged a little leisure program for you. Tomorrow night, we have a seniors' evening, and the registration for that is running until noon today. So if you're interested in that, don't forget to register at the reception desk. Tomorrow, we have the great pleasure to have an audio description with us. This will start a bit before the session to introduce you to the room, to give some ideas what's going on here beside the speeches. So feel free to come in to listen to it, even maybe on the headphones. As our president already mentioned, the exhibition on auxiliary help in technology will start on Thursday and run on through Friday and Saturday. It's an international exhibition, and we really look forward to that. And last but not least, I would ask you to applaud all the volunteers who help you throughout this week. Thank you. I look quickly over to my presidency. Are the people ready? Are you? So I pass on to William Rowland.
Oh boy, one of these things, I can't get close to again. Can you move over a bit? Just a bit more so I can be in front of the mic.
Seems that we are doing a little bit of scrambling up at the podium.
Good morning, everybody. Bonjour. Buenos dias.
World Blind Union on ACB Radio.
We now turn to the work program. In the English Braille, it's page 18, volume 1, in Braille. We've had the first announcements. And the next item is the receipt of the proceedings of the 6th General Assembly. They have been circulated, and our achievements in result of the resolutions are taken up in the quadrennial report. Also, the First Vice President will be reporting on these proceedings and later today. So we merely ask you formally to receive these proceedings. I propose that this be done. Thank you.
Yes.
The next is the announcement of the Assembly committees. And I'm going to call on our CEO, Dr. Benny Harton, to give us those names.
Start with nominations, right?
Yeah, whatever.
Thanks. Perfect. Good morning, everyone. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Good. Good morning. I'll start with the nominations committee, which was chaired by Philip Baum, and Philip will give his nominations report in a couple of minutes. I'll simply announce who the committee members were. From Africa, Donatilla Kamimba. From Asia, Ahmed Aluzi. From Asia Pacific, William Jolly. From Europe, Paul Ludenberg. From Latin America, Jose Montegudo. The Credentials Committee is chaired by Jim Sanders. The committee members, Jill Wagner from South Africa. I'm sorry, I neglected to say Jim Sanders is from North America, from Canada. The committee members, Jill Wagner from South Africa and John Heilbrunn from Europe. The Resolutions Committee, chaired by Tina Numis-Sodergen from Sweden in Europe. The members of the Resolutions Committee, Birgitta Blokland from the Netherlands, also representing the Women's Forum Resolutions Committee. Also, Dr. Eli Macha, from Executive Director, African Union of the Blind in Kenya, and Mr. A.K. Mittal from India. The Returning Officer, Jeffrey Gibbs, Honorary Life Member and Delegate from New Zealand. And the Scrutineers, Barbara Marjoram from Canada, Judith Varsovsky from Uruguay, Ludmila Thesarskaya from Russia. Sorry, Ludmila, the pronunciation. Kurt Gilligan from Switzerland, and Rahel Gans from Switzerland. Those are the General Assembly committees, Mr. President.
Thank you. you very much, Benny. We propose these committees to serve the WBU 7th General Assembly. Those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much. I'm now going to ask the chairperson of the Nominations Committee to speak to us on the nominations process.
Thank you, President. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Nice to be with you all again. My job is to explain to you the process for the nomination of officers, and I'd like to refer you to the program. There is a deadline every evening for as long as the process is underway. Would you please note that tonight, the deadline for the position of President, nominations for the post of President is at 6:15. Then after that, the nominations committee will meet, will look at the nominations in terms of two provisions, mainly of the Constitution, Section 3C3, and I'd like you, if you do not know that one, to just check up on it again. It requires that you should have the support of organizations within the country, and we would like to see on your nomination form an indication of that. Candidates need to make sure that they also sign to indicate their acceptance of the nomination. And thirdly, in Section 6 of the Constitution, there is a requirement that the majority of the members, the national delegation, must sign the nomination form. We have a list of your delegates here, and if there's not a majority of those on the nomination form, then of course the nomination will not be valid. So we would like to remind you of those, and if you would please ensure that those are complied with. Then I will be at the hall. It is to my left, and I'm facing you, which would be to your right, at the front here at the podium, every afternoon until the deadline. And the deadlines are different for each day, so you please note that the deadline is different for each day. And so I'll be here to collect the forms. You can also hand that to me sometime during the course of the day as you find us, and I will mostly be up front here behind the president. That is the process. Once we have approved and confirmed that the nomination is in order, we will hand it to the returning officer, who will then proceed with preparing for election if there is a candidate. And we will announce, as you will see on the program every day, we will announce who the nominees are. So at this time, we are not announcing any nominations. We have received some, but we will do that on the program at the designated time. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Philip. The next is the Credentials Committee. The chairperson is James Sanders. And Jim, I think you're going to speak from your position in the hall.
Thank you, Chair.
Please go ahead.
Buenos dias, bonjour, good morning. It's my privilege on behalf of the Credentials Committee to present the following report, and I would like once again to recognize John Heilbrun, Denmark, and Jill Wagner, South Africa, for participating. I would also like to give special recognition and thanks to our WBU office, Chief Executive Penny Harton, and Executive Assistant Catherine Munoz-Smith for the excellent records that they provided us. As of 4:45 p.m. yesterday, Sunday, August the 17th, we were able to validate 117 countries, with three additional countries pending a validation and the payment of the dues. we were able to validate 329 votes. Of these, 65 are valid proxies. You may be interested to know that the 329 votes made up of official country delegates, and in addition, we have 6 international members here voting, 8 honorary members voting, and 6 table officers. It may also interest you to know that of the voting delegates here, there are 40% of the voting delegates here in this assembly hall, 40% are women. President, I have one final and very important announcement to make. Up until 2 p.m. today, Monday, we will be accepting official validated proxies. The proxies must be submitted by 2 p.m. today to our WBU office, Chief Executive Penny Harton, Executive Assistant Catherine Munoz-Smith. If you are not able to locate them, they will be at the front no later than 1:45 p.m. and will be accepting proxies until that time. The official proxy form must be signed by the voting delegate who is offering the proxy, and the name of the validated voting member who will be voting on behalf. The credentials committee will be, and it must be signed by a witness as well. The credentials committee will be presenting its final report following the close of 2 p.m. today to returning officer Jeffrey Gibbs. President, I return the floor back to you.
Thank you very much, Jim. I'd like to add to the information you've given to the Assembly that registrations will also close at 2 p.m. this afternoon. That'll be the closing time for all registrations. Now, a presentation on the process for conducting the elections by our returning officer, Jeff Gibbs.
You're with ACB Radio World and the 7th General Assembly of the World Blind Union. If you have any questions or just like to contact us, email and MSN are convention@acbradio.org.
Thank you, Mr. President. As William has said, the process for the election of officers will possibly begin tomorrow. It will depend on the number of nominations received, and it will depend on the finalisation of the number of voting delegates. Within your conference pack, you would have found information outlining the method of voting that will be used through this assembly. If we refer to the WBU Constitution, voting on any issue may be by acclamation, by voice, by roll call, by show of hands, or, if 20% or more of the delegates present so demand, by secret ballot. It is practice for elections where there is more one candidate standing for a table offer position, voting shall always be by secret ballot. During the plenary sessions, if there is a necessity for a secret ballot, voting will be done using a system of red and green cards. These cards will be marked in Braille and large print to indicate yes, which will be the green card, or no, which will be the red card. The no's will also be identifiable with a corner cut on the red card. Cards will be issued in an envelope with an additional smaller envelope used for returning the selected card, with the unselected card being returned in the original envelope. For each round of voting, the smaller envelopes will be marked with a hole at a certain place, and that is an index for the scrutineers to ensure that the votes are valid and cards from previous votes have not been passed in. Delegates will receive the appropriate number of cards for voting based on the number of proxies that he or she may be carrying. The ballot, or any secret ballot, will take place in this hall, and scrutineers appointed by the Assembly a few moments ago will take responsibility for the distribution of all voting cards based on the eligibility of voters and approved proxies. The scrutineers will also be responsible for monitoring and counting the votes under the supervision of myself. Following the presentation of the candidates for the positions of table officers, each delegate and proxy will receive envelopes containing voting papers, and these differ in construction from the yes-no vote. Cards with the names of candidates written in Braille and large print will be prepared and placed into smaller envelopes on which the position to elect president, vice presidents, etc., will be written in Braille and large print. When casting their votes, delegates will deposit the smaller envelope with the card of their selected candidate in a box in a special election room, and that room will be room 223. The delegate will only be permitted to deposit the number of envelopes for which he or she has proxies. If more than one position is to go through an election process each day, you will receive the appropriate number of smaller envelopes with the position marked. Once the time for the election is over, and if you refer to the program, elections take place through the lunch break, the scrutineers will count the votes and the result of the election will be provided, again as in the program, late afternoon most days. To distinguish between the days of election, the envelopes will be marked with a different coloured sticker each day, and that is for the reference of the scrutineers. A vote shall be regarded as invalid if more than one card is placed in the envelope, if cards are handwritten, if cards appear with names of people who haven't been nominated, or if cards are handed in after the close of the election time. I believe our Swiss colleagues have developed a relatively simple process for us to follow, and I'm sure that once we have moved through the first round of elections, you will find that the system works well. Thank you, Mr. President.
Next, a presentation on the processing of resolutions. And the chairperson of our resolutions committee is Tina Numisodergan. Tina, the floor is yours.
Is Tina in the room, please? She's coming.
You're listening to coverage of the 7th General Assembly of the World Blind Union on ACB Radio World. Convention at acbradio.org.
Yes. Good morning,
is
everybody.
Where to send any
Sorry
emails
for
the delay.
That
MSN.
Was a pretty good exercise to run from the back of a room to here. When you know where to find Sweden, it's in the very far back. Anyway, I would like to start to thank Penny Harting very much for the good help we have got from her in preparing the work for the Resolutions Committee. And you have already heard the list of capable persons that I have with me in this very task to start up this work. It is an honor and it is a pleasure for all of us to be able to come into dialogue with you, and we try to organize our work so that we will have the possibility both to write resolutions in a way so that we get both feasible, practical, and achievable. I count on you, though, that you should help us out with this. We're trying to make your draft resolutions in this way already from the beginning. We have circulated guidelines by the help of the WBU office, and I'm quite sure that if you haven't got them, you can get them from the WBU secretariat so that you could have an idea of how to write the resolutions. We have also already received, of course, several draft resolutions, but we are waiting to have several more during this assembly. We have talked about the issue in the Resolutions Committee, and we have found that we really want to help you to be able to bring in resolutions as long as possible, though we of course understand that this will meet the deadline when we have to leave them very close. So we want you to, as soon as you know that you want to pass on a draft resolution, please contact any one of us in the committee and discuss it, whether you are unsure in any way of how to get it on. Please put a contact person on the resolution. Put your cellular number, if you have any, or a mobile. Put your name and delegation so that we can find you and could be in touch with you. You can leave resolutions until Wednesday, 2 o'clock. After lunch, Wednesday. That's the last possibility to leave resolutions. 6 o'clock Monday evening and 6 o'clock Tuesday evening. I will also be there to take your resolutions. You can leave them with me. I'm sitting here most in the plenary, but I will also be in an office that has been given to us besides the WBU office on the second floor. It is room number 12. I'll be there at 6 o'clock tonight, 6 o'clock tomorrow, and 2 o'clock Wednesday. So make sure. But you could, of course, leave them any time at the day if you are ready with them, just in order for us to be able to prepare. We also want that you think of that it's not the number of resolutions. It is the possibility of us to carry them on and for the executive to come to be able to work them out and to really implement them, but it counts. One important thing is that we have decided not to pass on any resolutions that has been taken before. So it's not a situation that if you give it a resolution that has been passed before, we won't take it up. When you have to think of another way of putting it forward, the item, if you are not satisfied with the outcome. I could just briefly tell to you what themes we have got resolutions under, sometimes two, sometimes one. It is under the situation of a convention from the United Nations on Disability, access to information, children, transport and mobility, braille, technology, and of course, 6 resolutions from the Women's Forum that we was closed yesterday. There are some resolutions on membership fees that has been discussed, and we have decided to put them on as motions under the membership structure report that will be dealt with Friday morning. That is the situation right now. Now I look forward a lot to be in communication with you. I think all the members in my committee, and with the very good help from our secretary, Raven Lovich, and Elaine Kennedy, who is going to help us, I'm sure we are going to work this out. And we'll be very happy to be able to communicate with you so that we could keep with the idea and get short but very effective resolutions. Thank you.
Thank you, Tina, for taking on one of the toughest tasks of the General Assembly. Next, we come to the obituary item. Persons who have passed on, and these will be presented by our Secretary General, Enrique Perez. Enrique, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, distinguished guests, World Bank Union colleagues and friends. Every 4 years, during our General Assembly, we come together as the WBU family to commemorate and acknowledge those who have passed away but who are still very much in our hearts and in our minds. These are well-known individuals who have, through a lifetime of effort and dedication, contributed to promoting and supporting the cause of the blind throughout the world. I would like to start by remembering Dr. Horst Stolper, who left us in November 2006. He was honorary life member of WBU and former president of the DBSV from Germany. We acknowledge his services and contributions. In 2007, we lost a great African leader and fighter for the rights of blind people, Dr. Diarra Siaka from Burkina Faso. Dr. Siaka was a member of our United Nations Working Group. He served in AFUB for many years. We will miss his sense of humor, his sincerity, and his very wise and valid contributions. In November of that same year, Betsy Thorovsky from the USA left us. She served as director of the Jernigan Institute for the National Federation of the Blind. She helped many people to learn how to run their own lives. We will miss her capacity of work and dedication to promoting equality for the blind. At the beginning of 2008, we learned the sad loss of Colonel Boris Simin from Russia. He was former president of All Russia Association of the Blind, president of the World Council of the Welfare of the Blind, former president of VBU, an honorary life member of both the World Blind Union and the European Blind Union. Colonel Simin was indeed an outstanding personality. He was a builder, a strong and talented politician who played a very significant role in social movement of the blind in the world, in Europe, and in his homeland, Russia. In 2008, we also offer our respects to Atilio Pedranez from Venezuela, a true leader of the blind in Latin America. Atilio was able to dream and implement his dreams. His ideals and proposals led the movement of the blind and gave birth to blind sports in his country. Many national and international bodies benefited from his action. Besides presiding his local organization of the blind, he was Secretary General of the Venezuelan Federation of the Blind. In February of this year, another Latin American leader left us, Marco Antonio Bertoglio from Brazil. He was treasurer of ULAC when he died, and a very active and key leader of the blind movement in Brazil and in Latin America. Antonio helped expanding the horizons of blind people in the region. He also worked with, those who worked with him will remember his wide capacity to view problems and to find solutions. Later this year, saw the passing away of Michael Collins, another friend and colleague to many of us in the field of blindness for the past 30 years. Michael, as director of the Hilton Perkins Program at the Perkins School for the Blind in the United States, devoted his life to making a profound difference for individuals who are blind and deafblind. Michael played a key leadership role in the WBU Institutional Development Program. We also acknowledge Syed Mahmood Shah from Pakistan, former president of the Pakistan Association of the Blind. He was national delegate of ABU and former WBU and ABU Executive Committee member. Also from Pakistan, we offer our respects to Salma Maqbool, who lost a very dear woman leader serving and defending the voice and rights of blind women for many years. And lastly, let us all remember Val Pond of South Africa, who left us only a month ago. She was the personal assistant to WBU President Dr. William Rowland for over 25 years. Our community has lost these wonderful leaders, workers, and friends. Some of them honorary life members of our union, but hundreds of thousands of blind and low vision people, particularly in the developing world, are better off today thanks to their tireless work and contributions. We will never forget them. Let us pray for them and for their families to find peace and comfort. And finally, please, let us all stand for a moment in remembrance of each and every one of them.
Just a reminder, you're listening to coverage of the 7th General Assembly of the World Blind Union from Geneva, Switzerland, on ACB Radio World. Don't think I've ever heard a room so quiet.
Thank you.
Request a convention of acbradio.org, email or MSN.
Thank you, Enrique.
If you have any
it's always
questions,
sad to hear Marlena
will see them.
Away, but it's also informative so that we can take the time to appreciate them. I'm Marianne Diamond, for people who don't know my voice, WBU First Vice President, and I'm going to chair just this section of the meeting while William Rowland gives the President's report. So we'll invite William to give a report as the President, and then we're going to open the floor and allow you to ask questions. And William's prepared to answer anything he's asked. The floor is yours, William.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Marianne. the interpreters should have the Spanish and French text of my presentation, which will be in English. Dear friends, it has been a good 4 years for the WBU, and it has been a privilege to be president during this time. The work we have performed is given in detail in our quadrennial report. And my attention this morning is only to touch on some milestones and to say something of the evolving potential of the WBU. First of all, about our strategic plan. When I announced my candidacy for president, I pledged that our program of work would be guided by a strategic plan. How we have fared in pursuing our 8 chosen objectives is set out in this report. But what I would say additionally is that having a strategic plan imposes discipline and accountability. It also provides continuity as we manage the transition from one presidency to the next. The most immediate gain has been the establishment of a permanent office in Toronto, followed by the appointment of a CEO in the person of Dr. Penny Harton. This project has transformed the operations of the WBU, both in terms of the efficiency of our administration and the quality of our communications. The WBU belongs to a community of shared interests. At the international level, our association with agencies and organizations active in our field has in the past mainly taken the form of bilateral relationships. During this quadrennium, we restructured our development committee to include all of our development partners, thereby establishing a forum of joint planning and the mutual strengthening of programs. But also in our bilateral relationships, we have moved beyond statements of common intent to engage in joint action, as will be illustrated in at least 3 instances further on in my notes. In creating a collaborative ethos, we are building a community of shared interests to the benefit of all partners and of blind people themselves. Extending our worldwide constituency. Although persons with low vision outnumber blind persons by well over 3-1, they have been underrepresented in the ranks of the WBU. As a consequence, the issues of low vision have received scant attention. Drawing on the knowledge of professionals and the ideas of partially sighted people themselves, our working group on low vision has produced some practical recommendations, while re-emphasizing in our thinking the importance of the WBU being totally representative of its worldwide constituency. The UN Convention. On the 3rd of May 2008, the UN Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities came into force as a binding international instrument of law. The event was triggered by the ratification of the convention by a 20th country 1 month before. On 12 May in New York, I was co-moderator at the coming into force celebrations. And this was for me a culmination of my work at the UN on behalf of the WBU. The CRPD, as the convention has become known, bears the imprint of the WBU in many places. And several articles of particular concern to us, such as those on accessibility, information, rehabilitation, and education, came out well. The CRPD will be the primary focus of WB activities in the years ahead, and hopefully its progressive realization will assist us in the mission of changing what it means to be blind. Two campaigns. I'm enthusiastic about two global campaigns launched during the period under review. In the IFAVI initiative, we are partnering ICVI in its efforts to achieve education for all visually impaired children, 90% of whom are not yet at school in developing countries. In the Right to Read campaign, we are hoping to convert a potentially adversarial relationship with WIPO and the International Publishers Association into a collaborative approach that will end the book famine, which deprives us of access to 95% of published materials. This is the WBU in action, and a successful outcome to these campaigns will have a major impact in the lives of blind and partially sighted persons everywhere. Listening to the children. A note here on the Congress jointly organized by our Children's Committee and our generous colleagues at ONSE. At this event, 20 children from all of our six regions brought messages of hope and expectation, which it will be our task to translate into assembly resolutions and subsequent action. May the dreams of our children become the reality of the next generation. Two moments in history. In 2009, we celebrate the bicentenary of the birth of Louis Braille, our greatest benefactor. Commemorative events will be staged in many countries around the world, while some will also take the opportunity to address anew the issues of literacy and the availability of Braille. The ambitious program planned for France will at once be solemn and festive in tone, signifying both our gratitude and joy at the indispensable gift of Braille. Next year also marks the 25th anniversary of the WBU's founding. I was present in Riyadh at the historical moment when the merger of the World Council for the Welfare of the Blind and the International Federation of the Blind gave to blind and partially sighted people their united voice, as embodied in the WBU. Planning for these celebrations took place during the present term, and in this General Assembly in Geneva, we will mark these things festively by special publications, presentations, and exhibits. Finally, some expressions of gratitude. In the main body of this report, we elaborate our sponsorships program and acknowledge the generous support that has in the current term taken the WBU to a new level of efficacy. Here I wish to acknowledge those organizations without whose support a WBU presidency based in South Africa would not have been possible. Sightsavers International and CBM have provided ongoing support throughout the past 4 years, while other contributions at the beginning of my term set a solid foundation. Such contributions came from the South African National Council for the Blind, the International Mining Company BHP Billiton, Abilis, and Perkins. There were also gestures of goodwill from many quarters, among which I would particularly mention the RNIB and the NFB. I also thank my personal assistant, Val Pond, recently deceased, for many years of loyal service, and Philip Bam and the League of Friends of the Blind at Cape Town for the indispensable support given to me in my travels and international commitments. Finally, I thank the members of the WBU who elected me to president. It has been the most rewarding experience of my professional life. Friends, I thank you.
Was Dr. William Rowland, current president and outgoing president.
Thank you, William.
Of the World Blind
this is
Union.
The first session that questions will be taken from the floor. So what I'd like to do is outline how we're going to do this. And it is important that you listen because we will be using this method throughout the whole 5 days.
The voice you're hearing
only voting
is
delegates
Diamond, who
and delegates from associate members are entitled to speak at the assembly.
For the office of president.
Questions and comments are to be kept brief. Delegates are asked if they wish to speak or to limit themselves to one question each, so that we can give the greatest number of people the opportunity to speak. If you wish to ask a question or make a comment, you should raise your country sign, which is on the table in front of you. Our stage manager is keeping a speaker list and will advise me who the next country entitled to speak is. If you hold your country name, or in the case of Honorary Life members, that sign, international members and associate members, if you would hold it up for about a minute to be sure that you make it onto the list. When I call your country, you should state your name and briefly the question. That's after turning the microphone on. Once you've finished, please turn the microphone off. It's important that we only have one microphone on at a time, and then William will answer your question. I hope that's clear, and let's see how we go. So if anyone would like to ask a question, please raise their sign.
There's an Honorary Life member. I don't have his name on the right.
That's okay. One of our Honorary Life members would like to ask a question. Thank you.
John, you're on. John Wall from among the Honorary Life members. This is not so much a question as a comment, but I think it's important. When the quadrennial report was prepared, it was uncertain what had happened to a campaign to change and improve the arrangements for sending literature for the blind and other things through the post internationally. In 1952, the Universal Postal Union, I'll call it UPU, had agreed to send literature for the blind free of charge. Back in 2000, there was an attempt to remove that exemption, and Dr. Harry, who is only sitting two places away from me, went to Beijing and very skillfully prevented that from happening. In the last 4 years, we have been trying to get the provision modernized, and that is mentioned in the quadrennial report. The Congress of the UPU met in this very building between the 23rd of July and the 12th of August. Our proposal for modernizing the arrangements involved recognizing that literature was not limited to Braille books, but also included books on cassette, on CD and DAISY, etc. We also wanted the UPU to agree that such items as Braille watches, white canes, Braille machines, even parts of Braille machines, which I think come to South Africa so you assemble Perkins Braillers, all those things should be sent free of charge. We were also concerned that there is talk of privatization, in some ways more than talk. In Japan, for instance, the post is now private. We did ask national members through the officers to encourage their governments to support our proposal, which was actually put forward by Luxembourg, because WBU did not have a right to put forward, it was only countries. We were hugely assisted by Emil Espen of Luxembourg Post, who happens to be related to Roger Hoffman, the president of the Luxembourg Association for the Blind. A lot of work was also done by my colleague Dan Pescod, but I'm afraid that after a considerable amount of effort, we were not successful, although we live to fight again. What happened was simply this. There was going to be a vote, and there was a clear indication that a number of countries were in favour of what we wanted, and if there was a vote, it would have been a roll call, and there would have been a list of countries who had voted against us. Now, certain countries did not want that to happen. So what was done, and I have to say it's not recorded in the minutes of UPU, but in fact we know this, it was an alliance between the Chinese and the Japanese, something which would have been surprising even a few years ago, but they persuaded the Congress not to vote on this. They did have a vote on the not to vote, if you could put it this way, and 29 countries did vote in favour of continuing to get put the thing, but 111 voted against. So it was a pretty overwhelming decision to not exactly kick this into the long grass, but what they are planning to do is to ask the Postal Operations Council to look at the study what we want. Now, this may sound a very narrow issue, but it isn't really, because getting equipment moved around the world these days is hugely important for blind people, and if heavy postal charges have to be paid, it will make it much more difficult for organisations to do this if they've got to pay large costs. The Postal Operations Council is going to be chaired by someone from Greece, and I'm hoping that our Greek friends will be able to talk to the Greek president of POC and encourage him to be pro-WBU. Marianne, I'm sorry I've gone on a rather long time about this, but I think it's important that the General Assembly should be aware of what has happened. I was personally a little worried about the extent to which national members of WBU had in fact lobbied their governments. We asked them, number one, to lobby their governments. We also asked them to tell us, that is to say Dan and me, as I'm the representative of WBU, to tell us what had happened. We did get a limited amount of feedback, but I only hope that the limited amount of feedback was just a sign and that much more lobbying had been done. But there is, to my mind, a bit of a danger that no lobbying had happened, or very little. I have to say, our president, William, managed to get the South African Post very much on side. They were obviously one of the 29. Costa Rica, I also know, did, from the other side of the Atlantic. But it is important, I think, when the campaign is being put forward, that our members should support it. I would also just mention to Tina that we have a resolution that we want to put forward. I hope I haven't wasted too much of the taken up too much of the time. But I thought it would be useful to give members, delegates, that information, because in the quadrennial report, there was a loose end. We had to say that when it was prepared, a decision hadn't been taken. It has now been taken, and although it's not good, it's not entirely bad. Thank you.
I'd like to thank Sir John for that and for the role that he and Dan Pescott have played in advancing our interests. While we've had a disappointment in this area, the WBU has been very much part of the debate and has regularly been lobbying and been making presentations and formulating positions. The postal privileges we've enjoyed for many, many years do come under threat, particularly in countries where the postal system is privatised or the management of the system is outsourced. And it's important to give this assembly that information, because this requires lobbying at the country level as well as at the international level. And thanks for that presentation, John. We lived to fight today, and as recently as last evening, John was outlining to me the next steps. So this is a battle we will win in due course. Thank you.
We have a question from Nicaragua, and what I'd ask is that the person state their name, and if you could keep your question or comment very brief, to around 90 seconds, it would be much appreciated.
Muy buenos días. David López de Nicaragua.
López from Nicaragua.
I'd like to
ask the Honourable President, in the planning of the quadrennial WBU strategy, I'd like to know what the mechanism was for participation, or let's say the degree of participation from the various WBU regions in this strategic plan. What was the regional participation?
Thank you from Nicaragua for that question. There will be a full report on this afternoon. The strategic plan in the main applies to the WBU in action at the international level. And as I pledged to do when elected, the officers met very early in the quadrennium in Madrid in 2005, February, and with the facilitation of international experts, we devised our strategic plan. Your regional presidents participated in that process, so that to that extent the regional input was available. We also did a half-term review, and again the presidents participated. But I do believe that a strategic plan, as we increasingly work under that discipline, should apply right through the union as well as in the regions. Thank you.
Just to add to that, I will be giving a report this afternoon on the strategic plan, and contained in that report will be the process by which the strategic plan was developed and monitored. So I'm sure that you'll get more information then. We have a question from Tunisia.
Okay. This is Dr. Shaka from Tunisia. First of all, let me say how nice to hear voices of people that we haven't heard for a long time, and anyway, personally, I haven't heard for a long time, like John Wall, Jeffrey Gibbs, Marianne, Penny, and others. You will hear maybe during the next days. My question to William, and I may be mistaken, just forgive me. Did you talk in your report on the role played by the World Blind Union and the World Summit on Information Society? And as you know, Kiki Nostrand, Monthian, and even myself, since the second phase of the summit was held in Tunisia, we were very active in participating in writing the declaration about universal design and accessible information and access of the blind or partially sighted to the new technology. Well, that was my question. Thank you, William.
Thank you. It is an important question, Dr. Shakar, or Senator Shakar, as you know. This was an important participation, and I do acknowledge the role you played, Kiki, Hiroshi Kawamura, and others. I focused in my reflections this morning mainly on matters that reflected in the activities of the WBU itself. In the quadrennial report, there are broader references to what happened in the UN, in the information summit process, and others. But I mainly try to reflect on our strategic plan, the progress within the union, within our own movement. But I thank you for raising that so that we bring that to attention as well.
Thank you. We have a question from Malawi.
Okay. I am Ulim Kawali. Mr. President, sir, in your report, you've mentioned something about the celebration of the bicentenary of Louis Braille. I just want to find out from you, sir, will WBU set aside a specific theme for this celebration, or each country will be required to set aside a theme? Thank you very much.
This is the sort of question I really welcome, because next year is going to be such an important, such a special year for all of us who use Braille. What we have tried to do is encourage every country to have a national celebration. And I put out a letter with at least 20 ideas. And a number of countries have reported their programs to us, and there are some major celebrations planned. For example, in the United States, Canada, United Kingdom, France, of course, South Africa, Australia, and India, very extensive in India. And the activities range from new Braille production, improvement of library services, literary programs, stamps, the issuing of a special coin which will support literacy in the United States, an initiative of the NFB, the renaming of streets, and many others. The World Blind Union is going to celebrate its own Silver Jubilee, 25th anniversary next year, in parallel with the French celebrations. We will participate in France, and there will be at least one co-hosted event in France, so that our anniversary is linked to the bicentenary. And I would encourage Malawi and AFUB to take this up. It's not too late. The whole year will be devoted to this event, to this commemoration, and I hope that you in Malawi will join in as well. Thank you.
We don't have anyone else who has raised their country sign requesting to speak, so I'm asking you now if you'd like to ask the question to the president. Oh, someone is coming. Just so you know, the stage manager cannot see the entire room from up here. It's quite large, so she's relying on volunteers doing some running.
Mauritania,
ask the question, please.
It's worth noting that we are running ahead of time, and we may well break sooner than we thought we were to be having this session between
the volunteer who said that Mauritania is having a question. Please go there and help with the microphone.
11:30 and 12, and it is just now a little bit near 11:15 EST.
Voilà, merci.
Okay, thank you. Firstly, I'd like to thank and congratulate the President on his report. Now, with regard to the celebrations commemorating the birth of Louis Braille, I have a question, or a recommendation, rather. Is there a chance of sending a circular letter from the presidency of the WBU or the presidency of the African region or the Francophone regions, the different sectors, to recommend to countries and to member associations of the WBU to celebrate the year 2009, in other words, to participate in the festivities and celebrations of the birth of Louis Braille. As I say, this is a question. Secondly, I'd like to know why the WBU is not planning visits in developing countries in the interest of making appeals to the various political bodies in order to try to get more political commitment in defending the interests of handicapped persons. Thank you very much.
Mauritania, thank you for that question, and I think a very good suggestion. Quite early in my presidency, I sent out exactly the kind of letter that you are now requesting. But I think we could easily do that again, update people on what is happening, and suggest that they join in the celebrations. So we will record your request and try and respond to that. You should also be reading regularly our WBU e-bulletin. I hope that everybody in this room is signed up or will sign up for that, because that is one of the channels that we will be regularly giving out this information. Regarding political visits to countries, these are important, and we have noticed whenever we visit countries that we have received a lot of attention from media, from government, and of course our own organizations. It is expensive, and we don't have time to go to all the countries of the world, but I myself paid country visits to quite a number of places. I call to mind Japan, India, Russia, Poland, several African countries, where I was wonderfully received, and where sometimes I sat on the stage next to the top leaders of the country, like the President of India. And always we put across the messages like we did this morning, like Colin did with the on the convention. We never fail to raise this person to person and in our speeches. Of course, the World Blind Union is not only the president, it's not only the CEO, it's also the regions. And so in Africa, we've got a very active presidency. I know Paul has visited many countries. And also our CEO, Eli Macha, is supportive of this work. So that we must raise the level of political activity also in our own countries, particularly at this time of the conventions. And I know Mauritania is going to be one of these countries. Thank you.
Thank you. We have a question from India.
Is it? Yeah. Thank you very much, Mr. President. I have two small questions with reference
to... Your name
to
is?
My name is A.K. Mittal, forgive me. A.K. Mittal from India. I have two small questions in the backdrop of the discussion we have had regarding the bicentennial celebrations of Libreville's birth anniversary. The President has made a commendatory reference to the work we have done in India and this respect for which we are extremely grateful to him. My first point, by way of suggestion, would it be possible for the President of the World Blind Union to address communication to the heads of government and states throughout the country, bringing to their notice the vital significance of the historic event? The national affiliates could perhaps provide the secretariat addresses and details of the heads to be contacted. This will help in spreading greater awareness and appreciation of this momentous occasion. My second part relates to a specific question. Going through the resolutions passed at the last General Assembly in Cape Town, we came across one recommending establishment of the World Braille Council. In view of the widespread celebrations of the bicentennial, would the President be good enough to enlighten us on whether the World Braille Council actually came into existence and what is its present status? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mittal. Again, there will be reference to this in the report this afternoon, so I don't want to particularly duplicate the answer to your second question. But certainly the World Braille Council, which operates under the WBU, has an important task to perform, and I predict that this will be elevated in the work program of the next quadrennium. India is one of the top celebratory countries and has perhaps the most extensive program. I don't want to particularly make comparisons, but many, many ideas are being expressed in your program, and I commend you for that. We take on board your request, which is the second request for action, to put out information, to play a coordinating function in the international celebrations. I have little doubt that there will be a bicentenary resolution. And Tina, I hope that you will absorb some of these suggestions into the resolutions. Thank you.
Thank you, William. Iceland is next. I told you before there was no questions. Now we're getting quite a lot, just so you're aware, which is great.
Yes, my name is Kristin Einarsson, and I want to start by thanking the President for the report. I wanted to ask a little bit about part in the report regarding the low vision working group. You mentioned in your report that it has produced some practical recommendations. I don't see that there will be reports on them in the agenda as such, but if you could possibly outline some of them or point out where these practical recommendations can be located, and Seen. Thank you.
Thank you, Kristen. Besides the quadrennial report, a more detailed report on each of our committees and working groups is available on request. So you might like to look at that. The most useful practical recommendation that comes to mind was on the guidelines for PowerPoint presentations. They've drawn up a document with guidelines on size of print, number of messages, duplication in Braille, how you speak to PowerPoint, all the things that are necessary for blind people and partially sighted people to benefit when PowerPoint presentations are made. That's available on our website and from the World Blind Union. Earlier, the working group also made recommendations on large print, what face and size of print is most effective in use. So these are practical recommendations. But I think the most important contribution has been raising our whole awareness that the low vision constituency is part of the World Blind Union family. Two of our table officers are partially sighted. One of our table officers and our CEO. So in our leadership team, we have partially sighted persons. And there will also be a presentation by Jill Wagner and others in the General Assembly on this particular topic.
If we move now to Congo, who would like to ask a question?
Merci, Monsieur le Président. Je vous remercie.
Thank you, President. I'd like to thank you for your report, which was fantastic. I've got two small concerns. Firstly, I'd like to ask you, on the eve of the bicentenary celebrations of the birth of Braille, would it be possible for you to speak to the presidents of our countries and the people responsible in those countries to ask them to give some impetus to the associations representing the blind, because in Africa in particular, these associations are suffering, education is weakened, and this represents a serious problem for visually impaired persons and the partially sighted. We no longer benefit from teaching in Braille as we should. And also with regard to low vision, I'd also like to ask you if you could also intervene in the same vein, because many people in Africa do not have access to ophthalmologists. It could be that in some countries there are just 5 or up to 8 ophthalmologists in one country. Therefore, would it be possible to try to enter into contact with the governments in order to seek out solutions to these kinds of problems? Thank you.
Thank you for your very kind remark. I think we should say that the WBU probably does not interact sufficiently directly with governments. We do look to our national members, though, to be activists on our behalf, so that a message coming from ours is probably less effective than lobbying on the ground. I think you have linked the Louis Braille bicentenary celebrations to the need for education, literacy, and Braille. And I think it is a moment to raise awareness. And again, your suggestion will be considered by Resolutions Committee and by the WBU incoming leadership. But linked to that, we must also recognize the coming into force of the UN Convention I don't think the Congo is yet ratified, but this will be your main lobbying tool. At every level, we are going to see pressure put on government, governments having responsibilities to respond to their disability communities, to report to the UN and to other structures. So this is your lobbying tool, plus the celebration, which is a moment that we can raise awareness. In South Africa, we have engaged two ministries in our national celebration of the centenary, bicentenary, culture and education. There might be others. And these are my thoughts in response to Congo.
Thank you. If we move now to Thailand.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. This is Montien Buntan from Thailand. Having heard your excellent presentation, I'd like to congratulate WBU under your leadership. And I've come across to your reference to the success of WBU in the drafting and negotiation of the CRPD. I'd like to ask, how you would like to see WBU role in the near future, and I mean towards the new leadership, with regard to the effective implementation and monitoring of the CRPD. I think this is very important that we hear the statement and the wish from our outgoing president. Of course, you are still president, but you are going to pass it on to new presidents. And having said that, I have just a very small minor comment that we Thai delegates, we have registered 5 people here, but we only have 4 seats. So we still need 1 more seat for 1 more delegate here. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Montien. Also, Senator Bunton. To my knowledge, we have at least 4 blind parliamentarians in the room, and one of them is a minister in his country. Before I answer your question, we want to just point out regarding the seating. I'm sure this doesn't apply to your delegation, Montien, but some observers are sitting with the delegations, and this is limiting the seats. Where the delegation sign is, only the delegates plus interpreters, if language interpretation is necessary, should be seated. The observers must please be seated at the back of the hall. There's plenty of space.
General
That's how we always
on ACB Radio
configure the room
World, and you can contact us by sending an email or
organizers
an MSN
will look at your problem,
convention
Montien. I'm sure we'll resolve
at acbradio.org.
You've asked a question which you could answer just as well as myself, because you were part of the Thailand delegation and made many speeches at the UN and some real contributions in developing the convention. Let's take the various levels. On the 3rd of November, at the Conference of States Parties, the treaty body of 12 persons will be elected who will perform the international monitoring function. I'm aware of at least 3 nominations from our ranks in this room, and let's hope that some of us are actually elected to that international body. And one also hopes that the civil society lobbying for those appointments will support our candidates. But very importantly, at the national level, we need to participate at every stage. Government should be engaged, and many are already, on how they are going to review legislation, what machinery they're going to put in place to implement the convention. There will also be the opportunity for shadow reports, the critiquing of reports, even complaints, provided the optional protocol is also ratified by a particular country. So these are the areas at every level that we must be active. And my sense is that the World Blind Union is particularly well prepared for this phase.
Thank you. If we move to Ghana now.
Yeah. Yeah, Mr. President, I'm Yao Fori Debra from Ghana. I appreciate the fact that WBU is celebrating Louis Braille. At the same time, I just want to draw your attention to the fact that with the increased use of ICT, the use of Braille is under threat. The blind themselves are now moving from the use of Braille to the use of computer, which is not a bad idea. But I think the WBU and its allied institutions should try and encourage the blind to use the Braille as a means of our communication, much as we continue to appreciate the use of computers. Computers are good, but especially in Africa, where electricity is not reliable, if we don't continue to appreciate the value of Braille, it will go against our interest, and we shall not make use of Braille as a means of communication, which will affect us in the future. So my request is that we should use both together for our own benefit. Thank you.
Thank you, Ghana. You've raised an important issue to this assembly and to our internet listenership who are sharing in our assembly. Very, very important. Blind people for several decades have used Braille and audio means of reading and writing and listening, studying. All the computer does is unite them into one device, that you have audio and Braille. It doesn't change the importance and the relative importance of any medium. Braille becomes ever more important as blind people face bigger challenges, more opportunities, and enter into ever more occupations, level of public activity, as we will hear in this assembly. Thank you for emphasizing that. We support what you say.
Thank you. Before I move to the next country, we have five questions on the list. And so if anyone has any more questions, we'd prefer it if you speak to William during the break. We won't have time. So I'm going to move to Panama now.
Gracias.
Thank you.
Señora Presidenta.
Madam Chairperson, unfortunately, Ghana and Africa have expressed some of the things I wanted to say. I'm Guillermo Moreno from Panama and president of my local association. I believe that not only domestically, internally, nationally at our country, we should lobby, not only there but elsewhere, we should lobby to involve our authorities in the use of Braille for our students. Now, I'm a university teacher, and according to my experience, I know this. Some blind students come to university and they still do not know how to use Braille or to read Braille. So we must have a global campaign because we have other factors involved here, and very often our countries do not produce the equipment, Braille printers, etc., or paper reams for these machines for Braille printers. And we need, therefore, let me repeat this, we need to have a campaign and seek funding for that campaign and we also need to promote the use of Braille machines. And I think that the Braille Council should play this role, namely to promote the use of all these means. For example, all the regional organizations should be encouraged to work in this vein, and we could have this lobbying work carried out in the fields of education. Now, we have conventions of the OAE and the UN, and these can be involved. So, a global campaign, I believe, of the WBU through its contacts with other institutions could be a very useful tool. So we need to have national, internal pressure and international pressure also. And we need to help those countries lacking in the equipment to be able to raise the profile of the use of Braille. That's the comment I wanted to make. Thank you.
Thank you, Guillermo, and congratulations on your recent election as the ULAC president. Again, you raise an important matter. What I'd like to take up is the question of equipment. Braille is reading and writing, and we need the equipment. There is a huge demand, but because of the economies of this equipment, many people are denied having writing equipment. From our factory in South Africa, where we produce a reduced price brailer, of course the standard brailer, but much reduced in price, I think some 20,000 units have been distributed in the last 10 years, and we can't fulfill all the requests because not everybody has got money to buy these machines. Allow me to say a word for the Braille slate. While I have the most sophisticated equipment available to me as a blind person myself, the equipment I use most often is the Braille slate. I have one next to me here at my desk. There's still a place for the Braille slate and stylus. And one of the programs of the World Blind Union, not greatly advertised, is distributing free slates on request to developing countries. Might like to note that. Thank you.
Okay, if we move to Chile, please.
Good morning. On behalf of Chile, I would like to express our thanks for your management of the work we are looking into. I wanted to address the issue of access to information. I think that today Braille is an extremely useful tool for all of us, precious tool, but there are new technologies today. And we cannot overlook that fact, and we need to participate in these new technologies. Today, thanks to the internet, thanks to the screen readers and text magnifiers, and we can have access to the labour market thanks to these new technologies. Thanks to these new technologies, we can have a better quality of life and better personal development. Now, we need to focus on two things. First of all, the validation of this equipment or these technologies. For example, when the new operative system comes out, we'll want to see, well, it becomes obsolete after 10 years. Now, who looks into this? Who does the WBU have a mechanism to be able to generate a kind of validation or an assessment, evaluation of the use of that technology? My second point is this. It has to do with the massification of information through libraries, copyright, a very important issue for us. And in practice, in our country, in particular, reading has happened through a kind of Well, it's doing disabled persons a favour. That's been the approach. So what is our view with regard to this? Could we come up with a resolution to be able to raise these issues? And my colleague would like to make a comment also, with your permission. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Mr. President. I would like to make a comment with regards to your excellent work that I have witnessed and the excellent work that the WBU did with the UN through the development of this negotiating process that took place, and particularly through you, sir, and through Nikki Nordstrom and the team that was working with Mr. Donis also, and with this excellent work. Well, I have a question on the issue of the continuity, the follow-up on this work, the institutional continuity. Who is going to be working with this? Who is going to strengthen this area of human rights with the WBU? And who's going to be monitoring the follow-up of the CPRD? And are we going to establish a link with the local networks through the human rights secretariats of each of one of our organizations? So my specific question is this: how do you see the strengthening of the Human Rights Committee of the WBU in the light of the adoption of this CPRD, the latest convention? Thank you.
Thank you, Chili. Some quite challenging questions there. With regard to technology, your point is absolutely valid. The World Blind Union has a technology committee, and there will be a plenary presentation as well as a workshop, and I would strongly suggest that you participate in that. While I emphasized the inexpensive, simple tool of the Braille slate a moment ago, in my address this morning when President Cushman was with us, I emphasized the role of the internet and the possibilities for blind people. That, of course, does open limitless horizons for us. With regard to the continuity, Maria Soledad, you were, of course, part of our team at the UN. You spoke on behalf of Chile. You represented WBU interests. It will be for the new incoming leadership to determine how best the WBU can be effective in the next phase. I have no doubt that we will be represented at the Conference of States Parties in November. I certainly myself will be there. And it is a new phase with a different tactic. And we will still, I think, have to do the new planning in the new session for that. But I think we are well geared up to be doing that.
We have three more questions and 15 minutes till our lunch break. So we're doing well. If we move now to Morocco.
Could won't you help with Morocco, that I can speak, please?
You're listening to the coverage.
Merci, Monsieur le Président.
It's all well and good to organize celebrations, for example, Louis Braille's celebrations, but can we be sure that all countries will be present at those celebrations? That's my first question, my first point.
Can we use these celebrations so as to translate them into a voice of Louis Braille, this voice which will be echoed into the heads of policymakers and administrators so as to translate them into programs for the favor of the blind and visually impaired in the world. Thank you very much, Mr. President.
I've little to add except to strongly support what you say, Muhammad Azawi. I doubt whether it is possible for even a fraction of this very large assembly to be present at the celebrations in France. But the WBU certainly will be recognised and participate. Our best chance of letting the centenary make a difference is at the national level, and that's in the hands of people in this assembly, to advocate for meaningful celebrations and linking to that transformational programs, more Braille production, books in schools. Many blind children don't have books. We heard at the Children's Summit in Spain recently, at least half the children there go to school and don't have books. These are basics. And our membership must achieve this at the national level. But our support will be there. Thank you for that.
If we move to the UK, please. I think it's Colin Lowe who wants to ask the question.
Convention at acbradio.org.
Thank you, Marianne.
Email and MSN.
Sorry for the delay. I wasn't quite sure whether I didn't want to compete with somebody, a full member of the UK delegation. And I put my card up as I was sitting in the speaker's row at the front, hence the confusion. We've already been able to observe in this opening session a further advantage of holding our assembly in an international city like Geneva. I just wanted to say that the calibre of the interpreters working for us is exceptional, and I would want to pay tribute to that even on the opening day of the assembly. Second point, in relation to the last point made about using the Louis Braille bicentenary, even in a highly developed country like the UK, the situation regarding the availability of textbooks to blind children in schools is scandalously bad, and we've been lobbying hard with the British government about this in recent years, but we certainly intend to use the Louis Braille bicentenary as an opportunity to make our campaign go up a gear and use the opportunity of the bicentenary to spearhead our campaign towards the British government. And I hope that will be a good example of what can be done with the Louis Braille bicentenary. By which I mean to say I hope a successful outcome will be a good example of what can be achieved using the bicentenary. But the main point I wanted to make in raising my card was just in relation to the monitoring of the UN Convention. Delegates may like to know that the European Blind Union has developed a number of statements spelling out in detail what the key convention rights, the principal convention rights of importance to blind and partially sighted people, what these rights should mean in terms of detailed provision on the ground for meeting the needs of blind and partially sighted people. We will use these statements. There are 15 of them. We'd be happy to share them with any other country, obviously. Any other region or country. They will be on a database on our website, and it's our intention that these statements should be used as a monitoring tool for monitoring the implementation of the convention rights in different countries and monitoring the legislation of different countries in terms of its acknowledgement of the needs and rights of blind and partially sighted people.
Thanks for drawing our attention to that resource. Thank you.
If we move to France, please.
Bonjour, je suis Françoise.
Good morning. Françoise Madry-Lucigne is my name. I first of all would like, on behalf of the delegation of France, to convey to you our congratulations, our heartfelt congratulations, and this to our President William Roland for the exceptional quality of the quadrennial report we have had a chance to hear this morning, and of course we had a chance to read it in the preparatory documents that were sent to us. Indeed, it is, we realise in reading it not only how much work was done, but we also realise that this report is extremely succinct and precise at the same time. The second thing I wanted to say is this: I am absolutely delighted at everything I've heard this morning about Braille and the importance that Braille has for so many countries. How important the celebrations of the 200th anniversary of the birth of this exceptional man is for everyone. Now, of course, the objective isn't for a mass of blind and partially sighted people to come to Paris for all of next year. That's not the aim, to celebrate this event. But as has been rightly said by many people before me, and I'm not going to labour the point, the aim is that nationally, as in as many countries as possible, we can celebrate this event. Now, what I wanted to speak about is trivial and practical, but it is linked to this Braille celebrations. Now, it's very